Before we start a new hour, I just want to make sure everyone is aware that our beloved Louis Riddick is now a model. The University of Pittsburgh will debut the Louis Riddick collection at their spring game this weekend. Kmart, you're my fashionista. What do you
Apparently
think?
I'm not anymore. I have given my title to Lou Riddick because I couldn't pull those looks off.
I'll tell you what, man. This is such a cool project, though, honestly. When my school approached me about this over a year ago, like, I was kind of skeptical at first, just sitting there going, I don't really know what this is going to look like and how it's going to go. But when I got with the people at Mitchell and Ness and the people from the university, the marketing department, this kind of came to life. And it's cool. I'll tell you what, I'm nervous as hell about it just because you just don't know how people are going to react. But the reaction has been fantastic, and the gear they put together.
Shout out the web. Spectacular.
Again, had you included spectacular. Some completely button-down top?
Who else would have thought if Lewis had a clothing collection, it would just be shirts unbuttoned?
You know what? I thought about doing that today. I got a hoodie on today, but you know I wanted to wear a button-down.
We know.
Let me get to business here. We're excited for this venture. We're live at the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. We have a million things to get to on the NFL draft, but we have to start with, oh no, don't let this be what it looks like. Alan Hahn is with us here. Celtics Bucks last night, a game the Celtics did not take seriously at all. They did not attempt a free throw in the entire game. I'm not kidding. Meantime, Milwaukee got going and barely looked back.
Yeah, and they needed a good start. They lost four in a row. They're at home in a homestand. The shimmy there from Bobby Portis, who's been great off the bench.
And then here's Giannis, guarded by his former teammate, Drew Holiday. I guess there is no good matchup for Giannis.
No, you're on Giannis Island. Nobody wants to be on that. But how about this giveaway and then the block? Great defense from Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, and then and the other end of the floor, this is on the same play. That's Brook Lopez. So the Bucks have a 20-point lead, right? Again, Boston has clinched everything there is to clinch. They were basically done with the night. Giannis, come on.
Again, Hauser on Giannis Island. Not fun. That's an easy two for Giannis, and he was rolling.
So Milwaukee cruises to an easy win. But now we're going to show you this. Stay with the play. So Derek White makes the shot. That's not what's important. Look at Giannis
coming up the floor. And then he grabs the part of the body that we know in today's sports, especially in the NBA, you start thinking one thing, and that is Achilles. Yeah,
it's just terrifying. He winds up leaving the floor. 104-91 is the Bucks wind up winning, but that's clearly not the important part of this. Now, this morning, Woj tweeted the following. This was just over an hour ago. After an MRI, Giannis's left Achilles tendon is fully intact, and his return to play will come with how quickly his left calf strain heals. So this sounds like the best possible news under the circumstances. However, we will remind you that over the last less than 2 months, these are the things that Giannis has been dealing with. And when I showed this screen to Louis Riddick a little bit earlier, you should have seen the look on his face. Again, football players get this stuff. The Achilles tendonitis, the hamstring soreness, now hamstring tendinopathy. Now he's got the left calf strain. This is a significant concern in the final week of the NBA season.
Yeah, look, like I said in the last hour, I had a very significant hamstring injury in high school. And everything from that point on down in my right leg constantly required maintenance all the time. And I was constantly dealing with hamstring injuries in that right leg, calf injuries. My Achilles was an issue my entire career in the NFL in terms of having to maintain it. It always was sore. I mean, just watching me go down the steps during my NFL career in the mornings was kind of like comedy because I had to hold on to the railing and limp down the steps. So look, I don't know what the situation is going to be with Giannis. Obviously, I think here prudence and caution are the two words of the day for me. Take care of this young man and go slow with this because that's scary to watch right there.
The problem with that, I understand it, but Alan, the problem with that is the playoffs will start for them next week.
Yes, and Dame Lillard talked about this last night. He said with the calf issue, he dealt with it last year. He said he missed 8 to 9 days, tried to come back, then missed the next 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. The Bucks, season's over if you're going to wait that long, if he's got to deal with it this long. Keep in mind also, that 2 seed now for the Bucks is not a given. Yeah. They have 3 games left. 2 of them are against the Orlando Magic. 1 is against the Oklahoma City Thunder on the road. The Magic could get that 2 seed if they win both games. The Thunder are still playing for something as well, the number 1 seed. So these are the tough games that they have to play. And if they have to play them without Giannis, they've already been struggling, they could end up as far down as the 4th seed. and end up in a matchup maybe with the Cleveland Cavaliers or something. So this two seed now is suddenly not up for – it right. is up for grabs.
Let's not jump ahead to the – I actually think three would be better than two for them at this point right now, because two, you might be staring at a healthy Joel Embiid and Philly in the first
True.
Round. But let's not go there yet. All I'll say is, and again, no one wishes this on anyone. I don't even like putting it out there into the universe, but it's out there. If you look at Woj's tweet, if you look at Woj's Instagram reporting the injury, every comment is Kevin Durant, Kevin Durant, yeah. Kevin Durant. This feels eerily similar to what we saw with Durant in the 2019 finals.
Right, because he was dealing with a calf strain
yep.
and then tried to play through it, and then that's when the Achilles popped. Again, the MRI said that the Achilles is fully intact.
Right.
But as we know with Kevin Durant, there was a lot of accusations that the Golden State Warriors mismanaged that injury. So if you're the Bucks and you're thinking about the yep. future and not the immediate future, do you just shut him down?
Okay, so we're going to wait and see. Again, Woj's report is what matters here. The Achilles is intact as we speak, and we'll see where they go from here. Can I just leave this one with a smile? Lewis, if Billy Donovan is offered the Kentucky job, he might really want to consider taking it. The Bulls last night, his Bulls made the worst play in NBA history.
Yeah, it is.
I don't even know what to say.
That's a 3-on-0, by the way. Andre Drummond isn't really known for his defense, but this was a hell of a block from behind on
like,
the block.
You know what I mean? Like how about right now we're in the scouting realm right now. How about some awareness? How about some field vision? It's your own guy going up for the dunk.
Can we see that again from that angle? Torrey Craig's eyes are hilarious here. Wait.
I think what happens is that Torrey Craig thinks he's throwing it up to himself, and Andre Drummond
sure.
thinks he's throwing it up for him. And
here it is.
By
look
the
at
way,
his eyes. Look at his eyes.
If you stay with the play, Andre Drummond winds up getting hurt on the same sequence. Man. He winds up lying face down on the ground.
If only we could have got one of those little bubble pop-ups.
Oh, what's he thinking right now?
Where he's sitting there just going like,
yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to have heard what he was thinking.
It's three words, and the first two are, what the? Okay, so anyway, that's the worst play in NBA history. That happened last night.
His eyes.
In 15 days.
What the?
Yeah. Let's get to the draft. 15 days from today, and it's a holiday because Mel Kiper has a mock draft up. 4.0, and 4 is the operative number. He has 4 quarterbacks going in the first 5 picks of this draft. Caleb, Jaden, Drake May, and then J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings trading up into the 5 spot with the Chargers to take him after Marvin Harrison Jr. would go 4 to Arizona. So let's bring Mel in on this conversation here with us today. And Mel, obviously, there's no one I enjoy discussing this stuff with more than you. J.J. McCarthy, this has been a meteoric rise for him, but it's certainly not the first time we've seen it. Is his ranking, in your opinion, good enough to justify being the 5th pick in the NFL draft?
That's a question that I think a lot of teams are going to have to look at. Only one team has to believe he is. I have him at 14, so for me, Greeny, no. It's not enough to justify being a top 5 pick. But, hey, 32 teams in the league, a lot of different opinions on these quarterbacks. Bottom line is J.J. McCarthy. He says, hey, I'm an intangibles guy. I win. But at Michigan, he didn't have to carry this team. Only threw 34 passes in the fourth quarter and 1 touchdown in the fourth quarter this past year. No passes thrown in the second half against Penn State. 1 because of a penalty called back. Bottom line is J.J. McCarthy is a leap of faith on what he did in college, winning games. He's a really good athlete. He can move. He's up to about 219 now. He's 6'2 and a half. He's only 21 years of age. So this is a ability now, when you talk about the top 5 for the Minnesota Vikings, to have Sam Darnold in place to be that bridge quarterback. You have weapons galore there with Jefferson and Addison and Hockenson. Mm-hmm. You added Aaron Jones with Chandler. You got 2 bookend tackles in Darisaw and O'Neal. So I think everything's in place there for J.J. to sit, watch, and learn. He's going to have to. He's only 21. He needs some time, and Sam Darnold will be the quarterback there to get him through while he's developing at the pro level.
Okay, I want 2 things from you today, Lewis. I gave you 2 assignments.
Yeah.
The first one is show us some plays that demonstrate what it is people are seeing from J.J. McCarthy. You gave me 3.
Yeah, look, I think what you're talking about here, look, the pinpoint accuracy as far as his throwing is concerned and the difficulty of some of the throws that he made is something you're going to have to subjectively come to grips with, because he can do this. And you see it here. That is a tough throw. This throw rolling to his left in the red zone. We all know how difficult it is to get your hips square and throw the football with accuracy like this. That is a beautiful throw. And this is probably really the best one of the season. And this is when the stakes are the highest against your hated rival at home in Ann Arbor. And look at where he fits this football. Now, I understand, look, the draft is about minimizing risk. And with JJ, because of the fact that his resume is not that extensive, the risk obviously is ratcheted up with him when you're trying to project his future performance. But look at the objective stats here. His total QBR third this year in FBS. QBR under pressure, which is one of the things that we judge quarterbacks the harshest on. He's top 10. QBR outside the pocket. How many times on this show and others do we talk about quarterbacks who can make plays off schedule, out of structure, and how much of a coveted skill set that is? He's got that. And then when we're talking about QBR on the money downs when it's difficult, meaning it's 7+, he was first. I understand that the sample size is going to be smaller, but future performance projection is what this league is all about. And if you're going to draft him, look, if you're a team like Minnesota, look, Mel already talked about all the things that are in place in Minnesota. Offensive line, running game, wide receivers, improving defense. And they need to keep pace in that division right now that is taking off up there in the north. Look, that's probably a place that's tailor-made for him. And right now, if you're Kwezi, and right now, and if you're that Vikings front office, you're probably sitting there going, this guy, quite honestly, may be the guy to go ahead and draft, set him behind Sam, and then just plop him in here because we may have found our guy of the future. I think it's a perfect fit for them, honestly.
They have Sam Darnold, and I'll come back to the thought in a minute, but let me get Kmart in on all this because the Vikings, and that's who Mel is projecting, are just one of several teams that we expect to be actively pursuing a trade-up. What are we hearing as far as the very active trade conversations involving them and everybody else?
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings are the team that I hear trying to be the most aggressive. Like, their GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, right now, make no mistake, he is trying to have, let's say, that fifth pick get up in the top half of the draft, the top 10 of the draft before the draft actually comes. Right now they're at 11. He would love to get in where the Chargers are at 5. And for what? A quarterback. Listen, they understand, like, Kirk Cousins is gone. They understand they have Sam Darnold is that stopgap guy. But when it comes to J.J. McCarthy, Mel said something really interesting. Leap of faith. And I wrote that down because if you are a GM in a front office and you look to your owner, you're taking a leap of faith on all of these guys. That's what you're selling. Like, even Caleb and Jaden, we might be very high on them, but all of them need to make the transition, and it all depends on the structure, the organization, and the offense that they all are going into.
You know what I'm picturing? Yep. You guys watch the show The Price is Right, where someone will always say, like, it's $700, and someone will say, $701,
yes.
And it makes me crazy. I could, if the Vikings trade up to 5, could you see the Giants moving up to 4? Like, Arizona's sitting there. The Giants would only have to move 2 spots. They could get the quarterback they want, and Arizona might still be able to get the receiver they want. That's what's going to make all this so fascinating. Mm-hmm. Let me leave this there a minute. Everyone's chomping at the bit. Much more with Mel and Lewis as we continue. By the way, we'll talk about Justin Jefferson. His quarterback is gone. Would J.J. McCarthy make him happy? Can the Vikings reload for another run? Is it time to actually consider moving him? Plus, the D in Big D stands for drama. Do the Cowboys already have a plan in place to move on at QB? You need to hear Shefty on this, and you will get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and it is time for Lewis's signature feature.
That's my signature
that
look.
Ridiculous. That's the look you get on your face when someone says something ridiculous.
Yeah,
like
sure
maybe
is.
This. If I said the Texans are now the biggest threat to Kansas City in the AFC, is that ridiculous?
That is not ridiculous. Look, I think this football team is right now, it is on the rise. Defensively, one of the best pass rushing teams in the NFL that can absolutely do, like, put your quarterback in difficulty at a moment's notice. They have got pass rushers galore. On the offensive side, look, we're seeing the highlights right now. C.J. Stroud, everyone knows. It's well documented how I feel about this young man. And we're going to see whether or not Stephon Diggs really is that guy who takes away from a football team or who can add to a football team, not just on the field, but in terms of how confident that they feel off the field. This team right now is awful, awful scary. They've done everything they need to do in order to take it up a level.
Well, Stroud had the best rookie season
That's
of
right.
any quarterback ever. Let me ask you about a different rookie quarterback,
yeah.
or soon to be. If I were to say Michael Penix Jr. is a top 10 player in this draft, is that ridiculous?
That's ridiculous only because that's the name of this segment. But I'll tell you what, he's a fine quarterback, and I believe he is worthy of going in the first round. I just think given all the other value that you can get in the top 10 in terms of other players at other positions, not just quarterback, I just don't think he's going to be a top 10 prospect. I don't think he is a top 10 prospect. And he does come with some risk and some questions as far as whether or not his athleticism overall that he showed at his pro day is something that ultimately is going to be shown on the football field, namely throwing off structure, out of structure, and using that wonderful speed that he showed at his pro day in Washington.
All right, and then one more. Let's talk about an NFL superstar, maybe the best player arguably in the entire league, and that is Justin Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a quarterback change, right? Maybe they move up and get themselves a rookie. Right now they have Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins is gone. Should he want a change of scenery? Is that ridiculous?
Yeah, that is ridiculous. I don't think he should want a change of scenery. I think right now he should be in a holding pattern. Because look, I think Mel really laid this out pretty well earlier in the show. This is a football team that's not rebuilding. They have a lot of components in place, folks. They have an offensive line. They have a running game. They have weapons other than Justin. So he doesn't have to do it all himself. They do need to figure out the quarterback position. There's no question about that. Sam Darnold is not the long-term answer, and we get that. But if I'm Justin Jefferson right now, I'm sitting back and I'm watching, and I'm going, look, if you get a quarterback, and I believe myself that I'm going to continue to be able to maintain my high level of performance with a guy like J.J. McCarthy a year down the road, then I'm staying and I'm getting paid and I'm continuing to help build this football team and get it to where it needs to go.
Actually, if you're Justin Jefferson, you're sitting back in a cold tub with Kevin Hart having that conversation. He was on our buddy Kevin's talk show in the cold tub, and you're going to hear him talk about the envy he has for two of his former college teammates. Listen to this.
Him then going and getting to the National Football League and him getting to play with Joe.
Yeah.
You go, you with the Vikings. Was there a little bit of jealousy that they get to keep their thing together?
You know, just a little tad bit. I love them together. I love the chemistry that they have with each other. But, it's definitely some jealousy on that side.
So that just sort of had people sort of speculating about this. I mean, at the end of the day, look, people forget Justin Jefferson, Joe Burrow, and Ja'Marr Chase played together in college. Those three, that's why it was the most prolific offense in college football history. He's due for, to reset the wide receiver market, right?
To be the highest paid, yep, highest paid wide receiver. Since last year, Greeny, I've been told signing him to an extension is a top priority for the Vikings. And everyone around the league that I've talked to expects their GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, to get this done. The big question is when? And to your point, as you and Lou were talking about, if I'm Justin Jefferson, I want to watch what they're doing in the draft. I want to know what this team is doing. And I do think it's important that management at least tells their star players, hey, this is this is sort of the direction. You may not tell them who you're drafting, mm-hmm. right? But mm-hmm. at least bring them in the fold. So, because Justin Jefferson is one of the best, if not the best, receivers in the NFL. You could debate your mama. That's not for me to say. But but he is integral to the success that you're going to have. And you don't – you have Sam Darnold, but that's not the answer. And if I – listen, NFL teams – they love to waste your good years, just like men sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I'm Justin Jefferson, I want to make sure that if I'm here, that we have a plan and we can build this. And because me making a ton of money, if we're losing, the money may not feel as great sometimes. So,
Mel, how about it? I mean, you do foresee the Vikings making a move for quarterback here. It's one thing if they're able to get one of the top guys at the very top of this draft. That isn't going to be easy. There are a lot of teams who want him. Maybe they wind up having to make a move a little bit later. How do you see the situation?
I think Minnesota benefits from Denver not having that too. Denver sits at 12. Would they like to move up? Sure they would, right? Think about the AFC and the division they're in with all those great quarterbacks. So I think the benefit of getting that 23rd pick with 11 to package that and move up maybe to 5 with the Chargers, who need an offensive right tackle. They need a receiver. They're willing to give up one, Odunze and Neighbors, and move out of there. It's a perfect spot. Think about playing in Ann Arbor, right? You got to go to Green Bay. You got to go to Chicago. You got to play there. But you're in a dome here, so it's better for J.J. there. He didn't have that. Roman Wilson was his go-to guy this year, right? Now you have Justin Jefferson. You obviously have Addison. You got weapons with Hawkinson. So obviously the bridge is Darnold. How long will that bridge? Would it be 5 games, 8 games, a year? Who knows? JJ's only 21 years of age. But to go to Minnesota, if you're Justin Jefferson, if they make that move for JJ, Kimberly said, I said leap of faith. Leap of faith on the fact that now in the NFL, you've got to be able to put a team on your shoulders at times. He didn't at Michigan. He will in the NFL. And he is an ultimate competitor. He is a Josh Allen-type competitor, JJ McCarthy is. So from an intangible standpoint, he says, hey, I'm a winner. I'm an intangibles guy. I love the competitiveness and the desire to be great that this kid has.
Quick finish, final word.
No, that's big what Mel just said. The makeup, the competitive character, the personal character of this young man is what's going to allow you to take that leap of faith, to really project that future performance. And on top of it, what kind of relationship can they really build with him up there? What kind of relationship can Coach McConnell build with him and take him to a whole new level? And look, the people surrounding him right now, if I'm J.J. McCarthy, I'm hoping Minnesota trades up to get me, because the more you break down this roster and the more you break down the culture that has been built and that has been set up there, I want to go to a place like that. I want to go to a place that right now has a bridge quarterback where I can kind of like get my footing and kind of like just learn a little bit and just sit a little bit. And whether or not that means they put me in there in the first quarter, first half of the season, fine. But something where like from day one I'm not necessarily having to take the starter reps. If I'm JJ, I'm going, that's exactly what I'm looking for. And if they can get Justin back in the fold and I've got Jordan, I've got TJ Hawkinson, man, I'm telling you right now, I'm hoping that happens.
It's a very interesting spot in this draft. By the way, a reminder you to check out promos like Seeing Green. It's exclusively in the ESPN Bet app. As the official sports book of ESPN, it is the only place you will find offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download today. What a play. Coming up, the D in Big D stands for drama. Do the Cowboys have a plan in place to move on at quarterback? Adam Schefter with a fascinating insight. Don't miss it. Next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We are back on Get Up. Our next feature is called Sound Off. It is one of our absolute favorites. You will hear interesting people saying interesting things. We start in the world of football. Our old colleague Merrill Hodge, doing his draft analysis, has some really harsh criticism of one of the prospects, the quarterback Drake May out of North Carolina. Give a listen.
Drake May will get you fired. Drake May's the kind of player that gets you fired. His last game, the NC State game, was the most embarrassing display I'd ever seen from a guy who's supposed to be an elite franchise quarterback. When you talk about accuracy, it is erratic everywhere.
Yikes. So, I mean, yeah, that's a very, very strong take. Mel, you're evaluating these guys. You are synonymous with the evaluation. What did you think of that perspective?
Well, what Merrill said, when you look at that NC State game, Virginia game, NC State, Miami, Clemson, those four games were the ones that really gave you pause to say, okay, is Drake May super elite or is there a concern? He's 21 years of age. He's young, okay? He didn't have his coordinator. The coordinator moved on. Top receiver Downs moved on to the NFL and the Colts, right? Walker suspended early on. But when he had Walker, even late in the year, these were late in the year games where he was like the pitcher who didn't have his best stuff. That's what he was. Now, he did get it together. When he gets in rhythm, his pro day, missed some easy throws early, got in the rhythm and was lights out. With another year, where would Drake May have been? That's what you're projecting. It's not who you are, it's who you will be. On talent and on want to, Drake May has that. Does he have to, you know, tighten up that delivery? It's a longer delivery. Yes, he does. Are there some things to work on? Sure there are. He needs to sit for a year. He needs to be what Patrick Mahomes did. Okay, sit for a year in the National Football League. He is not ready right now, but in a couple years, he could be special. So I agree, he's got some flaws, but if they're worked out, he's got the talent to be an outstanding quarterback in the NFL.
Lewis.
Yeah, again, it's about future performance projection. Look, and I understand, you can pick out throws, games, series of players where you could kill them if you want to. You absolutely can. Here's the Clemson game. Here's some throws in the Clemson game that are absolutely just pinpoint. Some of these throws to Tez Walker, I want to look at this next play that's about to come up. That was a fourth down play there. Now here, you're going to see him fading away with pressure in his face, and he throws this, he lets go of this football so early that it's one of those anticipatory throws that make you sit there and go, look, that's a top-level type of throw for a quarterback, for a young quarterback against that quality and that level of competition. And another thing with Drake May you're going to have to do is this. As far as, you know, in order for you to get the entire picture on this young man, you're going to have to go there and you're going to have to talk to him. You're going to have to see him in person. Because I'll tell you this, of all the quarterbacks that I saw on the pro day circuit this year, he is the one that I came away with thinking, okay, I'm a little bit low on this guy. I'm low on him from a personal, competitive character, makeup standpoint, and I'm low on him in terms of his raw physical horsepower that he actually has and how much he is working right now on tying his feet with his hips, with his delivery, and trying to work on some of those accuracy issues. And they are starting to come along. You saw it play itself out in his pro day. You saw it coming along in his pro day that once he calmed down and once he settled into a rhythm, just how good he can be. The people down there swear by him. I would tell you this, I would caution against passing on this young man. I would caution on getting down too far on this young man because he has what it takes to get it done in the NFL, and he has the right makeup. He's going to be a good player. He's going to be a very good player.
Kmart, I have two for you. Mm-hmm. First, are we living in a world where Drake May could wind up slipping behind J.J. McCarthy? Mel's mock doesn't have that. I have seen some that do. Mm-hmm. J.J. McCarthy has been going in this direction, mm-hmm. and Drake May has been going in this direction. Are we living in a world where 2 weeks from tomorrow night that could happen?
Could? Yes, because everything is subjective. Every team, I've talked to teams that are high on J.J. McCarthy. Others are like, I'm not the biggest fan of his. Talk to teams who are like, that Drake May kid, I actually think he could be something special. Other teams, I'm not really feeling it. So again, it's about the supply and demand. There are so many teams need quarterbacks that people will convince them that makes sense.
And I'm going to convince you, here's my
convince
second
me.
One
Go ahead.
For you, what Mel just said. The team that should find a way to get Drake May is the Giants. We keep talking about the Giants and their future. Who do they have as their coach? Brian Daboll. What did Brian Daboll do? He developed Josh Allen. Who could Drake May at his apex become? He could become Josh Allen.
Right.
All the stuff is similar. Does he need to sit a year? They've got Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is going to be their starting quarterback this year. They owe him a fortune of money, and they can't move on from it. It is the perfect scenario, Kmart, to do exactly what Mel is talking about. So you call up your friend over there, Joe Shane, of the Giants, and you tell him to make that deal. And the Giants go going up to get Drake May makes all the sense in the world to me. No?
I get it. Again, our jobs are not on the line. It makes sense. The only pushback I will have is whoever the Giants take, they got to be damn sure he's the future answer because they don't have answers.
Well, actually, you know what? I would say this. I'll take it a step further. Whoever the Giants take, they better make sure that they have the right structure in place and plan in place to where their owner isn't coming back and saying the same thing about this quarterback that he said about Daniel Jones, which was, quote, we did everything in our power to screw this young man up.
That's right. Mel, very quickly, what would you think of that? If the Giants, and they probably would have to move up a little to do it, if we're sitting there 2 weeks from tomorrow night and the Giants move up and take Drake May, what will be the first words out of your mouth?
Not a shocker, because I have him moving up to get the quarterback Bo Nix, but losing a guy like Malik Nabers or Romo Odunze for Daniel Jones. Here again, Daniel Jones' offensive line figures to be better, but you don't get the go-to receiver. So I get it. It sounds good. It makes sense. But like I said, to lose that elite receiver is something you got to really think hard about.
Okay, let me leave that one there because we have more really good sound-offs. Adam Schefter, yesterday on NFL Live, talking about the Cowboys' mindset when it comes to the enormous Dak contract and the future of the quarterback position. Listen.
What are they going to do at quarterback if they lose Dak? That's interesting. And that's why I think the Dallas Cowboys might just be a sleeper team in the quarterback market during the draft, because at some point in time, they might have to draft a quarterback higher than you'd think, because Dak is going into the last year of the contract, and it might be time to get somebody in there to start grooming him. Just like they found Dak Prescott in round 4, might be time to go find another quarterback in another round to begin to get him ready.
I'm sorry, what was that? God bless you, Adam Schefter. All right, Mel, let's fast forward to Friday night. And we're sitting there in Detroit, and the Dallas Cowboys take Spencer Rattler late in the second round of the draft. What will be the first words out of your mouth?
A little high for me, late second round. This is a team that has an offensive line issue. Let's face it. They got to get a Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma and a Marius Mims from Georgia in the first round. They could double it up and get a Zach Frazier, center from West Virginia. In the second round, they could go running back and look at a Jonathan Brooks from Texas coming off the injury, an elite player. Second round, I have no problem with a running back at that point. And then you look at the quarterbacks. Certainly, Rattler's in that mix. Michael Pratt-Tulane, Keaton Slovis, BYU's moved up a little bit into that sixth round area. So there are some day three. Maybe some late day two. I'm thinking more day three. Dak was a fourth round pick, but help out your quarterback. And you got to get the offensive line. You need a running back. And you need draft choices that had to go to those positions to help your quarterback keep moving it forward and maybe get to a Super Bowl.
Lewis?
Hey, look, I'll say this. If they wind up taking a quarterback in the first two rounds, yeah, we're going to have a whole lot of fun. We're going to have a whole lot of fun on the set breaking this down because we know, I've talked about this extensively, the issues right now with the Dallas Cowboys. Dak, honestly, look, it's a big issue because of his contract and what it means at the most important position, whether or not he's going to be there or not. But Dallas has other things that need to be at the top of their priority list, okay? Otherwise, it's not going to matter what quarterback you have anyway. This football team, to me, is in trouble for this year because the offensive line is in trouble. The running back position is in trouble. Tell me how this defense is going to look in November and December against the teams in the NFC that have already shown, and in the AFC, you know, the Buffalo Bills, if you guys are wondering who it is, that ran the football down their throat. They have a lot of issues right now. Quarterback is not something in terms of the draft that should be on anybody's lips with this team. It should not be. But if there is value that presents itself later on in the draft at the quarterback position, everyone knows this. The best time to acquire your future quarterback is when you don't need him. So if a guy like Spencer Rattler continues to fall in the draft, hey, look, I'm a Spencer Rattler fan.
I need an Advil. I just... Because I want it to make sense. I get what Shefty's saying. But, Lou, when you say the best time to get a quarterback is when you don't need one, like the idea, the fact that we're even talking about Dak could just leave and then
he could.
The fact that it has gotten to that point and we assume that this extension would have been wrapped up already is wild to me. And the fact that I'm old enough to remember when they traded for Trey Lance. Trey Lance is still here. Now you'd add another guy into the mix, and we don't know what's happening with Dak. Other teams don't have this. Other teams that have their franchise guy, There aren't these sort of questions. So
look, San Francisco gave up a lot more for Trey Lance than the Cowboys did, and they were willing to move on from him. So, I mean, it wouldn't be that stunning if the Cowboys moved on.
We are not, you know, we're not
from Trey Lance. I mean, give up on the idea that he's going to be their quarterback in the future. And
wait,
the reality
but we're
is,
talking about moving on from a guy who led the league in passing touchdowns.
No, I'm not. I'm talking about him moving on from them, Kmart. You know who decides if he's going to be the quarterback of the Cowboys forever? Dak decides.
And you know
that.
I know that this is going to, like, it's still, we're talking about the same team here, but I'm going to switch the conversation to a guy who, like, we're so quick to write off these young quarterbacks and just say, look, after a few games or after a few seasons that their careers are over. I just have this sneaking suspicion that Trey Lance's story is not over.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it has not been written yet. It just has not. Look, this guy, when you talk about wiring the right way, we're talking about competitive character and makeup and fortitude. This guy continues to work behind the scenes. He continues to just quietly take, you want to talk about strays? Every time the quarterback conversation comes up and somehow his name comes up, it's just about, like, he's in the conversation for being one of the biggest busts of all time, right? This guy, I just have this feeling that his story is not over.
Hey, there's nothing on the page.
It's not over. Exactly. It's not over.
And that's the great thing.
It hasn't even started.
That's right. But you know what? But there are many people who think that it's already over.
Yeah. We'll see. All right, Matt, we'll come back to you in a minute. Stay right where you are. NBA doubleheader tonight. Really big games. Heat, Mavs, 7:30 Eastern time. That's a big game. But then the huge one is the nightcap. Timberwolves, Nuggets. First seed in the West is very much up for grabs. These two teams fighting for it. This could decide it. Could also be a preview of a conference final. Coverage tonight starts NBA Countdown 7 Eastern. Coming up, who's in the top five? Who's trading up? What are the Jets going to do? We will all ask Mel our questions coming up after Lewis tries to answer this one from Sneaky Hembo. Here we go. What is the only franchise to select three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks during the common draft era? The answer is next.
You know, I know what you're trying to do.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
You could cut the tension with a knife in this studio.
This is not fun. I just want y'all to know
Lewis wants this so badly. Here we go. There's only one franchise that has selected three Super Bowl winning quarterbacks during the common draft era.
Oh, you know what?
So Lewis was positive he knew it, and now I feel like
I was positive, and now I think I just figured out
who were you thinking?
Hold on. I was thinking the New York Giants.
Okay. So who did they draft that won the Super Bowl?
They drafted Phil Simms.
And they drafted Eli Manning. Is there a third one?
Jeff Hostetler.
Oh, actually, they didn't draft Eli Manning.
They didn't. That's sneaky. The problem. That is sneaky right there.
Uh-huh.
Dang it. See, now I'm stuck.
Okay.
Now I'm stuck because that's who I thought it was. Okay. I thought I had you nailed.
So take
that
a shot.
That was too easy.
Just
hold
take
on.
A shot.
Hold on. It can't be Green Bay because they didn't draft Favre.
Yep. Take
but
a
see,
shot.
The 49ers didn't draft Steve Young. I mean,
oh, the 49ers didn't draft who?
Steve Young.
No, who did?
Tampa Bay.
Hmm. Who else might they have drafted? Number one overall as a.
Oh, so we can go Doug Williams.
Uh-huh. And then, I don't know, could there be anybody else?
Hold on. Just I'm like, you guys are putting just too much pressure on me.
Oh, gosh.
Well, we don't have all day.
I mean, first take is starting soon.
Okay, let's just, you know, I'm messed up here now. Okay, Tampa Bay. Is it Tampa Bay?
Yes, it's Tampa. It is Tampa Bay.
Okay.
It is Doug Williams, Steve Young. And Trent Dilfer.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, Trent. I love you, but I forgot all about
none
it.
None of them.
That's bull. You know what?
What makes the question so sneaky is that none of them won the Super Bowl with
the Bucs. Exactly. You know what? I forgot about Trent.
That is a great question.
I love Trent. You know, a lot of people are going to be sitting there saying Trent didn't win the Super Bowl that year.
That's a very good question.
Ray Lewis and the defense won the Super Bowl. But that is a good one.
That was good fun.
I like that.
We are 15 days to the NFL draft. Who's going to draft the next quarterbacks who wind up winning Super Bowls? Let's find out. We've got Mel Kiper, okay? And look, I always say it. Mel Kiper invented the draft, right? I mean, it began. It is Christmas, and he's Santa Claus. So all of us are going to ask Mel our own questions about the draft. And Alan, I'm going to cede my Jets question to you as big a Jet fan as I am. What is your Jets draft question for Mel Kiper?
Well, Mel, very, very simple. At 10, should the Jets go for a pass-catching receiver at a tight end or fix that offensive line even more, get depth there?
Alan, that's a great debate. I thought about having them move down. I couldn't find a player a team would move up to get at 10 or what I felt comfortable with, but it's Bowers or I think J.C. Latham, the right tackle out of Alabama. Talu Fuaga out of Oregon State's another. So that's a debate. Offensive tackle or Brock Bowers, who's not a tight end. He's a do-it-all threat, right? Or move off a 10 and get a 2 back. So I think moving down, if they can find a dance partner, might be the best move.
I love that.
I love Brock Bowers, but the Jets desperately need offensive lineup. But Jack just come running out here very quickly. For those of you who are not watching yesterday, Jack, who's our director of printing operations, is wearing the Jets helmet every day until the draft.
Oh.
We mandated that. So that's it. That's counteract Booger's bad vibes. So every single day, he has to wear that.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, but he was the newest person on the staff, so he got that. All right, Kmart, what's your question for Mel?
For my bestie Mel, I want to know, what will the Chargers do at 5? Will they stay there, or will they trade back?
Kimberly, I think trading out, you give up the receiver. We talked about that. Lose Malik Nabers, lose Romo Dunze, but you get 11 and 23. You can get the offensive tackle Latham, then get a receiver. Benefit from the depth at wide receiver. Get an Xavier Worthy out of Texas to help Justin Herbert with that 4-2-1 speed. So they still can get the wide out, but also get the right tackle that they need to help that running game become a physical game, run the football like Michigan.
Something crazy has just happened. Come on in here. Sorry, I was trying to get the attention of the control room because
what is happening here
has made his way into the studio looking spectacular. Stephen A. usually comes in when he has a bone to pick with someone. Do we have Stephen A? What do we have?
What is
that's all he needs.
Hey, Lewis, that's how you should have gone on this show. That's how Lewis was supposed to walk on this show.
All right, first take starts.
I've seen everything now.
Every clock has spun away. First click starts in 9.5 minutes. Okay, we got one more question.
Yeah.
Stephen A., looks good.
Looks great.
That's a great day.
Corduroy?
Lewis.
That was a corduroy suit.
It was white corduroy.
Don't walk too fast. I start a fire.
I love your question for Mel.
Mel. In all seriousness, do you feel as though at this point it is more likely than not, to use the words of I think the commissioner, that J.J. McCarthy could actually go ahead of Drake May? You think it's more likely than not?
Well, first of all, Stephen A. gets an ass smell interference penalty there. I'll have to tell Stephen A. about that when I'm on First Take today. But in terms of Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, you hear a lot of things. They have these luncheons now, guys, with the media, right? They call them the liar's luncheon, right? That's all you hear now is lie after lie after lie. You hear all these different things. I don't think so, Lou. Could it happen? Yeah. I didn't think Baker Mayfield would go one. I thought it was going to be Josh Allen. So you never know. That's why Ravens are going to be watching April 25th. And we all knew I would be. We're going to have millions and millions of people watching April 25th. Why? Because it's the most fascinating draft I've ever been associated with in my 46 years covering it and my 41 years at ESPN.
Yeah, the thing I'll say is this. You know, a lot of people talk about the fact that, you know, how are players moving up at this point in time? Why? How can you talk about a guy rising the draft board? Look, I'll just tell you this. At the Combine, a good friend of mine who is a high-ranking official for a football team told me then, at the Combine, Lou, J.J. McCarthy will not get outside of the top 5.
Mm-hmm.
Teams have been feeling this way about him for a long time. We're just catching wind of it now because now all of a sudden things are starting to leak out. People want to talk. Scouts talk. Directors talk. People want to kind of give information away that they shouldn't be giving away. They have been liking J.J. all along. It's just that now it's becoming more discussed, you know, in mass. So this wouldn't surprise me at all. As a matter of fact, a good friend of mine just texted me this the other day. The more I watch these two, the more I have a feeling that JJ is going to go ahead of Drake May. This is your, and Mel is right. This is going to be fascinating theater on night one.
Yeah,
because this is Chargers at five, right?
Because the team that I've heard the most are the Vikings. But I've also heard Patriots, the Giants, teams that have been interested in JJ for a long time. I am so, it really turns at three. Like, what do the Patriots do? And the Chargers, are they going to let the Vikings come up and get that five spot? Who will be there for them
at
that
point? Well, you say three. I ask on behalf of my good friend Tim Legler, who we call Commander Tim.
Oh, my guy.
Is Jaden Daniels written in pen, number two to Washington?
That is the impression that I have gotten. Again, when it comes to the draft, I don't write anything in pen.
Right.
But erasable marker.
Mel, do they have that right at the very top? Because Lewis and Dan Orlovsky and so many other people have been in here for the last month telling me if they had the first pick, they would take Jaden Daniels. Now, I understand only one team gets to make that choice. But, Mel, is it the right choice? If you were making the first pick in this draft, who would you take?
Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams would be the pick. Number two would be Jaden Daniels. So I'm Caleb with Jaden at two. I think they're both ideal selections at that point. Caleb was unbelievable in 2022. He had a bad offensive line and no Jordan Addison this past year at USC. So I'm Caleb one, Jaden two.
Yeah, this is an interesting one for me. And what flips it for me is the comfort level that I felt talking to Jaden Daniels and the people who I trust, who have talked to and who know Jaden Daniels intimately, have told you he has met every single challenge along the way. There were people who tried to talk him out of going to LSU because they didn't know if he was ready for that kind of challenge. And he took that and used it as fuel. And the way in which he gets on with his teammates and the way in which coaches have told me that when they have put him on the board, taken him to lunch, bring him back, he can recall the information like that. It sold it for me. When you're around him, I got the same feeling I got with C.J. Stroud. I said this numerous times. Same feeling.
Mel's mock is available right now, 4.0. He'll be on First Take this morning, going over much more of it as well. They're also going to talk about the Warriors. Should everybody be worried? Stephen A. Molly, it's a Mad Dog Wednesday, top of the hour. All right, Masters Week is here. Par 3 contest today, 3 Eastern on ESPN, noon Eastern on ESPN Plus. And from the sublime to the ridiculous, once again, we finish with this. Billy Donovan wondering why he's not the coach of Kentucky yet as he watches the Chicago Bulls do this on a 3-on-none fast break.
Well, he wanted his team to play defense. Just not on his own
team.
Why
would you try to lob it to yourself? Like, what?
Well, why would you think that was for him? Here's the angle that's best. Let's watch his eyes. Look at Torrey Craig's eyes.
What are you doing?
He knew something bad was about to happen. Billy.
I think Greeny has the first. When I said, what would the pop-up bubble say? And he said, the first two are what the?
Yeah.
And the latter word
is not suitable at work. See you tomorrow, First Take.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.